Welcome back to Super Tuesday Recap. This is Chris here, and I got, this is who I got on the line. I got D-Pom, I got Jeff, and I have Shanna, and we are finally here to wrap up season two of The Gift. It's been a while. It's been so much stuff going on. It's been a lot of content going on, a lot of stuff. So we've been busy, but we're here to kind of wrap up these last three episodes. Episodes 14, 15, and 16, I think it's Calamity, Monsters, and then Omens. I guess let's do it this way. Instead of going episode by episode right off the bat, let's just jump right in and get people's overall thoughts of how they, these last three episodes and then how they wrapped up the season. If anybody wants to start.
Shannon, I didn't. Oh, well, you know what?
Don't Shannon, do that. You know what, Jeff? Jeff, let me tell you, because as somebody who's done this with what wrote and watched as Brandon does every time. Listen, everybody, it's a free-for-all on this network. Don't do that gentlemanly. I'm going to let the ladies go. No, don't do that shit. Just jump right in. No.
I'm just doing that so I can refute Shanna's points.
Right.
I'm just only shooting it for a second if you refute my point.
All right, well, I'll set it off, man. I really hope whatever shakes out with the merger and everything, I hope they bring this back. I hope they bring everybody, like the creative team, like this is the one that you leave alone and just let them rock. And just collect whatever money and ad and whatever and accolades, because this was another solid season, man. Like I didn't expect them to go the way they went in for the end, but they left it. It feels like to me like one of those endings where you leave it open ended just in case you don't come back, so that you have somewhere to start if you get picked up somewhere else or whatever have you. But yeah, man, like I really enjoyed the season. I feel like they wrapped it up well. I feel like they closed a lot of good loops and left things open for the future. And this is the X-Men I've been waiting for like 17 years. And I enjoyed it. I really did.
You mean you're telling me you're not ready to see, you know, Dark Phoenix yet again?
It's cathartic. It's cathartic. We're watching. I feel like we're doing the Viking funeral where somebody's gonna shoot an arrow at the whole franchise and set it on fire in the water. But you know, like that whole series makes me not even want to go to Arizona. No, I don't want to drink Arizona iced tea. I don't want to drive a Firebird. Like I'm done with everything Phoenix related.
That was real. I'm serious, I can't do it anymore.
It's okay. We all feel this way. How did I feel about these last episodes? I'm happy, but I'm also annoyed. I don't know. I just remember at the very end being like, really? Is that... Okay, we just moving forward, just whole new adventure. like Blink just came back and it's just like, okay, now we hopping into the future. What's going on? So I think that's where I'm at. I'm just kind of like, where are we going next? What's happening next? I will say that the final few episodes, I'm not giving up on Jace.
What?
Cut her mic.
Wow.
Drop her call.
I went first. You did not deserve it.
I'm waiting for one of you to be like, and this is the problem with the black woman. The black woman doesn't let the black man go.
Why are you saying that? I'm not saying that.
You're not faxing shit.
My third eye ain't that open yet.
We always hear facts and evidence and shit. I knew you were going to try this.
How
am I the R. Kelly supporter?
Of you paid Jason's bail.
No, I'm out. Okay. Like 5 minutes in, off the rails. Shane out here paying bails.
Here's the problem with Jace, right? Besides everything else, every time.
Like, what's not the problem
right,
with Jace?
Right. What's it? I remember our last review. We brought this up. Jace always, he does something fucked up. He crosses a line. He feels bad. And then you start going, oh, well, maybe he's going to. And then he immediately goes and hears somebody else and gets a speech. And he goes, I'm gonna make an even worse choice. Like he goes there, he goes in, and he basically helps wipe out the Morlocks and attack the Morlocks, kills a bunch of people. He sees that teddy bear on the ground and going, oh man, there were kids here. He finds out that the dude, the Bill O'Reilly wannabe, is basically lying to him, and that there were women and children down there. And then when the dude goes, hey, basically, dude, hey, stop being a bitch and suck it up. I got another mission for you. Jace goes, you know what? You're right. I was being a little bit of a bitch right there. Let's go kill some mutants. Fuck Jace. He's done. He's absolutely done. You always get that one moment where you gotta start thinking about his daughter and start thinking about, oh, well, you know, what would she think of me? And then immediately afterwards goes, fuck her.
I think that's what's so frustrating. Maybe it's me. I want to blame the writers for doing this.
Why? Wait, why are you blaming the writers?
Okay. No. Stop. I'm stopping you. You and your attachment to Millicent Cory Booker notwithstanding.
But this Cory Booker is interesting.
Wow.
The other Cory Booker is apparently in love with Rosario Dawson. That seems very, very interesting for a lot of reasons. Anyway.
Him being in love with Rosario Dawson is not interesting. Rosario reciprocating those feelings is what's interesting, because girl, why? He looked boring as fuck. But anyway.
So these last three episodes, for me, I loved them. I would love to invite anyone to go listen to our finale from last season when I told you all Jace was gone. And listen to the other episodes where these people told me I was wrong. Jace gone. They kill kids. The Morlock fight is dope because, like,
kids. So wait. Hold on. I want to go back to that emphasis of the S you put there. Kids.
You're right. Kids. Yeah. Children. Plural. No, the Morlock fight was dope because, as opposed to the end of the first season where it felt like, oh, these are trained operatives, it legitimately felt like these are people fighting for their lives. And the energy they were able to infuse those moments with, it was all able to be communicated because of the really good job they did reconciling the Strucker story. Having Andy come home and, like, it did, and obviously we all know, we're not stupid. We can count episodes. We can count timers on an episode. But at the same time, I thought they did a very good job of making his return to the fold earned and making it count. We'll get to some of the details, but as far as the very ending, it reminded me of the Angel ending. I kind of want to say the dragon, like, there's always going to be a next fight. It's kind of the way your favorite comic books end, like, the battle never truly ends. Like, it's one of those things, like, that the X will always fight. And if it was meant as a coda to the series, bravo, the same way I felt at Young Justice Season 2. If that was the end of the series and they could get no more, you seeded the larger universe, bravo. If they never go back to this, they gave us a reality where Blink was either shifted through time or through space to another dimension and still came back for her friends. Or it's not our Blink. Lots of options.
That's what I would
say. Yeah. Right.
The bottom line is that this is a show that for 2 years leaned into the weirdest fucking aspects of X-Men, including the clone Frostdaughters and the incest twins, the Struckers.
Oh my God.
These are not like Cyclops and Wolverine type name pulls. This is a show that whoever was show running it went deep and they cared and they wanted these things to matter. They killed Sage, who is retconned a first generation X-Man. She was Charles Xavier's mole inside the Hellfire Club. They went deep on some of these names. They made up some mutants. Bye, Eclipse. We'll never see you again. Why? Alex Summers is right there. Anyway, I just want to say, if we never get another second,
why do you hate this man?
If we never get another second of, I thank the people who worked in the show, because this is a love letter to X-Men, and having a human family slowly get rolled into it kind of was able to be the perfect prism through which you could explore all sides of the issues.
Well, that was the fun
thought. I don't like him because I'm a Havoc fan. Sorry, he got caught in the crossfire. I'm an Alex Summers fan. That's what it is.
But that's the thing. That's the funny thing about this, right? I remember when they first announced this, it was everybody was like, they're going to do... First of all, they had the Bryan Singer's name attached to it, and then they were talking about it was going to be focused on a human family, and we were all just like, oh, go fuck yourself. Like, not again. Why are we doing this again? Let's just... No. And so, you know, you're right. I think this was end up being a love letter to the X-Men. Yeah, like you said, if we the way the ending works, if we don't get any more, you know, I'm fine. If we do, that's great. I hope we do get more. Because I'm not gonna lie, there's one thing I did have. I did feel like, I feel like the show's not coming back because I feel like they had a bigger plan for some stuff. And I don't know. I love everything else. If there's one thing I couldn't wrap my head around, what Reva's plan actually was.
Okay, yeah. Thank you.
No, they never really went into that and how that was supposed to work. And this is...
It felt like underpants.
Like they did this again. Go ahead. No.
It felt like underpants gnomes. It was like, all right, cool. So we're gonna break in and do this. We're gonna destroy Sentinel services. Then the humans are gonna do this. ? Profit. And like, well, I mean, no. How is that gonna get you immune? Like, the only thing I can figure is that her plan was they do this. I think what they were trying to get to is that she's trying to force a conflict between the mutants and the humans, and that somehow she just... But I just couldn't understand, like, why do you think the mutants are going to win that?
Yeah, or that the final solution to that would be a mutant homeland.
Yeah, I just...
It's like, unless you I think it was over, which you can't...
Go ahead. Deepal?
No, I was just saying, I thought it was kind of a distilled version or a almost weaker version of the apocalypse, let the strong survive. And just incite this conflict. Wait, felt like, honestly, you're right. Like there was no. It's like step 3 ? step 4 ?
Well, you know what?
Like,
you know what?
That's what it felt like.
Yeah.
You know what it was? I feel like there was, and this is why I say I don't feel like the show's coming back, because I feel like they cut something out. And what I mean by that is there was, because you hear it sometimes when, because again, I watched it today. So if I might be more fresh than everybody else, I literally watched it.
Yeah, you're definitely
today.
Fresher than me.
So when I watched, I think it was either the second to last or the last episode, basically you have at one point, you have the Frost was talking about it. They were talking to, when they were talking, when, when Esme's talking to Lorna, it was basically when she was basically telling her, it's like, we're going to make them agree that we need our own homeland. I guess he was talking about the humans. And so I guess that part of the plan was supposed to be at some point, they were going to amplify the Frost to allow them to kind of basically manipulate the minds of, I guess, maybe influential humans. But it just feels like that part of the plan didn't have time to put that part of the plan into the show. And so they kind of just like, we got all this other good stuff. Cause other stuff is good. Don't get me wrong. And it was good enough that I was like, ah, fuck it. They yada yada the plan, but I don't care. But I really think that's what happened, because I believe the Frost had a bigger part of their plan. Because if you think about it, The original plan was for them to have Lorna and Andy basically break through the wall to stop down Sentinel services, but Esme and the rest of Frost were supposed to be, they had their own thing. They had to do their own thing.
Yeah.
And when Andy and Lorna left, that's when they had to go and change things around. So it was like, okay, well, now we got to go kidnap Lauren and Andy, which also didn't make any sense to me, because I was like, well, why don't you also just get Lorna back too? Because I feel like they had to. I feel like just like the show had Reva, you know, readjusting the plan. I feel like the showrunners were like, all right, cool guys, listen, we're not gonna come back for a third season, so let's readjust this and rewrite everything. Because I really do feel like this season was gonna end with Reva's plan probably coming close to happening, but it not going the way she thought it was going to go.
And the thing is, I think that if they did rework the ending, that certain aspects made it into this ending because of how complete Reed's arc feels.
Right.
Like, he almost had it. Like, it felt like, oh yeah, this is how the story, like, as you take a step back and look at kind of the evolution of that character over the last 2 seasons, he reached his endpoint. He had to die.
Yeah.
And I think that that set piece is probably intended for the original finale, like you're saying, but it was reworked in this new one. But the, I think the larger beats of large cataclysm, widespread mistrust and disdain for mutant kind, the Strucker children being directly involved in the cataclysm, I think those big notes were all hit.
Yeah, yeah. Like I said, I'm bringing this up as something that, that caught my eye when rewatching it right now. But I do want to say that, like, when you're writing a show and all of a sudden you find out that you – and you have, like, a – let's say a 5-season arc. Like a lot of these shows, they have 3 shows that the showrunners have and the writers have 3 shows they've already kind of, 3 seasons they've already kind of written for, and like 2 ideas for 2 more. So you got about 5 seasons. So when you got like 5 seasons in your head, and then they come and tell you you got 2 seasons, and then we're and that write your season 2 to end in a way that if it's over and done with. It'll be okay. You have to rework some things. And so what I'm seeing is I see where there were things and beats they kind of dropped, but knowing that and knowing how they still kind of, it's still an emotional, and I think that's what makes it so good. It's such an emotional 3 final episodes there that the details of Reva's plan and everything else don't really matter. And they've set things up with these characters so that you're just like, you know what though? I'm fine with that. Like Lorna and Andy leaving would make Reva be like, "Yo, I'm going forward with the plan. I've worked my entire life for this. I'm not changing my plan. We'll do it. Fuck it, we'll do it live." Right? It was that kind of thing. And you're just like, you know what? If her plan seems disjointed, if her plan doesn't seem thought out, it's because she might be at this point making up on the fly because she's lost. As much as she said that it didn't matter that she lost Andy in. And Lorna, it did in the end because her plan still involved Andy.
So that's kind of how I interpreted it, really. Because yeah. It was like, all right, when everybody dipped, she had that look like, oh, fuck this. We're still doing it. And everybody's asking her, do you think it's a good idea? You had this plan. Now the plan isn't going to go to according to what you're thinking because we don't have the original personnel. Because she didn't even have homeboy who Eclipse killed. So the plan kind of modified from there too. And then, I looked at it like a disjointed plan where she just literally was going to make it up. Like she wanted her major points hit and then she was going to figure it out after. That's kind of how I interpreted it. But I could see from what you're saying how, yeah, there probably were certain beats that were missed. But I kind of looked at it as a woman who was fed up with everything going wrong and said, we're going to do this, whether y'all like it or not, and we're going to figure it out because I got to get to the homeland one way or another.
Well, because you got to think about it also. She lost 4 people. She lost the original. Right. She lost the original dude. She ended up killing Sage because Lorna is terrible at Lorna. I'm sorry, Lorna. Lorna got that woman killed. Like, and I felt bad because Sage is like, I didn't do it. How can I prove it? Well, you can't. I'm like, ooh, damn, that sucks. Then Andy and Lorna left. She lost 4 people. So as much as she's going, oh, we didn't need them to begin with. It's like you lost 4 people that are part of your plan. You absolutely, because she even said it. She was like, we'll use bombs instead. She was like, that was what Sage was going to do. So she had to go around and start finding different ways. So you're right. Like, you know, from a critic point of view, I can go, oh, well, it's missing the beats here, here, and here. But from a fan point of view, just watching, I'm like, you know what? No, I can totally understand that at this point, she's kind of losing it. And then if you throw on top of that, the fact that, you know, she has to go down this path because remember when Rebecca killed her, the dude she fucked with? She's lost people close to her now. So it's like at this point, like she's gone down too far. She can't turn back. She can't.
Well, also, so I think the writers were smart in the sense that they left themselves very open. Because their whole thing was like, nobody knows the whole plan except Reva. We all have different parts of the plan, right? So they left themselves open enough to do it, to like kind of come up with a plan at the end. But clearly, I think what happened was they were just like, you know what? Those details doesn't matter. We're just going to focus on the relationships. That's what people care about anyway. Like the plan is sort of just a plot device. And we're just going to focus on the part that people actually care about. Also, I started thinking about it and Sage was really dumb because her defense should have been, if I would have did it, you never would have known it was me.
Right, right.
That's exactly what a nigga who did it would say.
Right. You wait, wait. So I did this and use my password? Come on, man. Like I can get it.
Exactly. Why would
I have access to the entire system. But I can't, you know, I can't.
I will say this about the last beats of the season. Chris is right that some of the details don't match up, and like, there's a lot of good speech, good reasons. But the reason the show as a whole worked in the last three is because it did what X-Men do. You don't remember the big fight against the Imperial Guard. You remember Jean sacrificing herself on the blue area of the moon.
Mm-hmm.
You don't remember the war that led to the X-Men storming Asteroid M, but you remember Magneto sucking out the adamantium out of Wolverine's pores.
Yep.
The moments that matter in X-Men aren't necessarily the big flashy fights, which is something that Fox unfortunately never understood. It's the interpersonal underlinings behind those fights. Go ahead.
This is why I will also fight people who are constantly like, the best part of Captain Marvel is the third act. I'm sorry. I care about relationships. So actually, the big fight, it was awesome. Place here. Yeah, it was awesome. But like, yeah, no, like, to me, the parts that are always the most interesting are the relationships between the people, because that's what makes me care about the fights.
Well, again, think about it. Again, going back to this idea that we're doing these in three episode chunks, in 14 ends with Clarice, like, as far as we know, dying. Mm-hmm. And so it sets the tone for you then going into those final two episodes, because now John's a fucking wreck. You lost somebody too. The Morlocks are completely scattered. And then you find out that Reva's behind all of this and is literally sending out people to do hit squads on these other mutants. It's like, oh, this shit is getting fucking real. And then, you know, Sikil, Sage, other dude is already gone. Like, it's just, you start feeling the real weight, and then you start feeling the pressure. You know, you see that Reva is pretty much, we don't say it because she's giving that, you know, strong black woman, you know, air to her, but you're gonna like, oh, she's kind of snapped. She's kind of snapped. She's not trusting anybody. She's snapping at the people that she's close to because she sees the end of her goal in place, and that's all she sees. You know? Like, and then you're looking over at the other side. You got, you know, John's a wreck, can't even use his power because all he sees is Clarice. You have Reed Thanos is a motherfucker.
Yep.
Now, granted, Officer Wilson deserved that shit.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like, when he started
and
crumbling.
It gave them that beautiful moment when he gets to bond with Andy over the fact that they're both horrible killers.
Right.
I too have killed someone in cold blood. Yes.
But did you do it with your own hands? Did he crumble in your own hands, Andy? If not, then you still ain't got one on your dad. So call me when you do that. Call me when you get your actual hands fucking dirty. Because, good God, he crumbled the fuck out of Officer Wilson. And I was just like when he grabbed the gun and the gun started crumbling, I was like, oh, please grab his body. Grab his arm. Just take an arm. When he started taking the entire arm, I was like, oh, thank God, because this dude is God fucking awful. When Wilson was talking to, again, going back to how terrible Jace is.
Let's talk about it.
He lets the killer cop back on the team because Wilson, which, by the way, Officer Wilson, Darren Wilson, gives him the sad puppy eyes talking about some, nah, man, I really need this, man. Cause, you know, I killed a little mutant kid. I need to kill some mutant adult people now. Come on, man. Let me get back on the team. Pull me back in, Coach Jace. Pull me back in. Coach Jace was like, all right, you little whippersnapper. Here's a M4. Go ahead and show these guys and lead these murderers down this tunnel to kill these mutant women and children. Fuck Jace Turner.
I hear you.
Every breath, if we get a season three, every breath he takes is a gift from John Proudstar. All right? I just want you to know this, all right?
Yo, I love that John could sense that Clarice was somewhere out there. That was a really nice moment for me. I thought that I really enjoyed his little arc near the end where he's, like you said, kind of shell-shocked. More than anything, his powers aren't working because he's still somehow quantumly tied to some form of the woman he loves.
Mm-hmm.
It was so beautiful. It was so lovely.
He didn't help for shit, but still, yeah.
What are you talking about? He tried his hardest. I loved him.
Yeah.
But, oh my gosh. I love him so much. Can we talk about Caitlin? because I really love her. She's come a long way for me.
You're talking about Killer Frost? Because you can't be talking about Kate Strickland. You can't be talking about
Shanna. I stand with you.
You can't be talking about Kate John Wick Reed, who's out here double fisting guns at the end. Like she's ready. Goddamn John Wick.
When she put some hot ones in Old Boy that turns invisible, I was like, final fucking Lee. You've been getting mad
at her for doing this shit all season.
Listen.
But this time she was good.
So here's the thing.
She looked like Scarlett Johansson in the Endgame trailer, the way she was putting shots in people. I'm like, where did you learn this between episodes? Like, when did she become like a marksman?
So
she's like, my whole family is super powerful immunists. All I got is this gun.
Is this work, which I will deliver unto you.
So here's I love her. So here's my thing.
That's a great origin story. My whole family has power. All I have are these guns.
All I got is this heat.
So
16 in the clip in one of the holes. That's all I got.
What's your power? You want to know?
What's your power, Smith and Wesson?
Heat. I got it. I pack it. No,
they want to stay ready, All Star man.
So here's my thing with Kate. Like, that stuff is great. My thing with Kate is just her attitude. Like, in episode 4, she opens up getting mad at Reed, almost like, you gave Lauren the drugs to suppress her power. What are you doing? You know, you didn't tell me that she was doing all this stuff and going. I'm like, Kate, last episode, you literally was pushing Lauren to be, you know, go hard All Star, and literally almost drove her to the inner circle. That was you. You did that shit. So she does that, and then like two episodes later, she's in going, wait, like, you know, wait, like, Andy and Lauren are gonna help you guys, but no, they're my baby. I'm like, bitch, make up your mind. Do you want them to fight or do you not want them to fight? Because like in the I think it was like episode 15 when her and Lauren are in the damn warehouse. She's all talking all gully. She's like, nah, look, I got 3 bullets. We going down though. I'm gonna find some other weapons. Yeah,
she had no other option. She was back in the corner, of course. But given an option, she said, let's get them the fuck away from there. Which, you know what? Honestly, considering the way they were used to take down a fucking building, maybe not the worst idea.
I'd want that on my side, though.
If we're going to run, we're going to run together. Let's get the fuck out of here. Them not listening to her got them hijacked into taking down that building.
I'm going to break with tradition here and agree with Deepom.
See, you tell me Bill Bridges.
She is wishy-washy, which for the longest time was a big reason why I did not get down with Kaylin, or Kate. But when it comes down to the wire, she's like, use them powers. I'm about to use these guns. Are we getting the fuck out?
I'm going to use mine. You use your powers, I'm going to use mine.
I'm just
an Angel fan, I will not take a side against Fred. I'm sorry. I can't be done.
I'm just sad that those kids are stuck with her.
Like, they stuck with her. We still have that building. Reva wouldn't have shit.
True. I'm just saying. I'm just, you know. Just.
But once they decided to go, once she was outvoted, what'd she do? Got them guns.
Well, getting them guns is why they got... I'll just stop.
What do we think about Reed sacrificing? Did that work for everyone else? Because I thought it worked for me considering the 2 years we've had with the character.
I'll let somebody else go. Well, okay, I'll start then. You know, it worked for me. Like, I think that we... And you know what it is? Even if they kind of accelerated it, the flashbacks they were doing with Reed, particularly in the last episode, really worked with him kind of talking about... Because it was him talking about it from a different point of view, right? Those flashbacks were him talking to Lauren and telling her basically about protecting her from the mutant threat, not realizing that the mutant attack she had talked about was her and her powers manifesting at that party. So to me, it was kind of an interesting using that talk, because in the end, it really didn't matter if it was about her being a mutant or about mutants or anything like that. It was about him protecting his family, you know? And so it was a very, very real moment.
I like the way it went because I feel like it gave some finality to his character, where he went from somebody who was the ops to getting his powers, realizing what it's like to be a mutant, and ultimately what it means, really what it means to be a mutant in that world where you may have to sacrifice yourself so that your family and mutant kind in general can survive. He realized that he probably wouldn't be able to control those powers no matter what he did, because it's not like there was a school or anybody there to teach him how to utilize his powers to the fullest. So for him turning himself into a nuke in order to stop Reva's plans no matter what, I thought it was pretty noble. I thought he worked himself to that point over the entire season, where he wanted to atone for the sins of his family, for his sins, and really use his powers to good use. And I didn't expect it to go like that. But once he said what he said, and once he was ready to go up to the top floor and face her, I knew, yeah, he's thought this out. He's been thinking about this since his powers have come back, and he's going to finish the job. I thought it was great.
I think it just needed to happen. To be honest, like, this family has been through a lot together, but it's also kind of unrealistic that they'd go through all this without at some point having a sacrifice or having to lose someone. So, and I thought it made perfect sense that it's him. In the end, I don't think he was ever going to learn how to control his powers, even if there had been somebody to train him or teach him, because homegirl told him his powers had been so suppressed for so long that it was kind of uncontrollable. And there was no cure for it. There was no long-term suppressant. They were eventually going to run out of that. It just made sense. And I feel like in terms of character development, I'm always happy when the person that has to die in order for other people to build character is not a woman. So.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. Do you have anything else you wanted to say about that since you brought it up?
No, I'd already mentioned it. Just I really thought it was a nice coda to his character arc, like Jeff said. It's just going from literally, I'm going to lock these here mutants up, to I want to sacrifice myself fighting four other mutants as a mutant. It's a pretty big swing in two seasons, and I think they pulled it off with him very well. The actor's name just escaped my mind, but he's...
Oh, Stephen Moyer.
He did a great job. I thought it was really good. I thought it was really well done.
I mean, that goes the entire time. I think a lot of the acting in the show is really great because you get the emotional weight of everything, you know? And you see it. Like, that moment
I'm more upset about Reva being gone because Reva was a great character.
Right, right.
Yeah, wait, was she on? Okay, so Reva brought a lot of menace and went out to the screen, but was it really... I don't know. I never felt the connection to Reva that other people did. I don't know if that was just me. It's just... She seemed too one note to me, and even when you tried to give her depth, she turned away from it so quickly and so effortlessly that it felt almost like wasted screen time.
I think they didn't give her. I think they didn't finish her arc.
Exactly, because
she had a plan that fucked up.
No, but when we saw the backstory of like her as like a young kind of activist in Chicago, and then we saw her relationship with Dude. I like, to me, those moments, the actress really shined, as well as I understood the character more. So it's like, I think had they like continued with that and maybe really fleshed out her plan, I think that's the problem. They didn't flesh out what her plan was. Mm-hmm. So then it just became about her being menacing. Yeah.
Like, we didn't know what her goal was. Me. And so every time I got those pieces of like someone who could be there, I would love to have seen more hesitancy played with her. I thought the actress was fine, but I thought the direction, the choices they made to play her as almost this arch villain took away from what could have been a more impactful, could more nuanced, almost Magneto type figure. Because when I look at her backstory, all I see is someone who kept learning the wrong fucking lessons.
Well, yeah, and I think that's the thing. I don't think they got a chance to finish up what they started with her, because again, it goes back to the whole story beats thing overall. And I think that her character is the one that suffered the most. And I think they made the decision of, all right, cool, we have these mutant underground characters that we need to finish their arc with, and even a little bit Esme, or it's and actually, if you think about it, I think it was Esme and then Reva are the ones that kind of didn't get the had their arcs kind of condensed. I don't want to say cut short because their arcs they end up in the place that we know they were going to get. Like Reva was always going to be defeated or killed, and Esme we knew was always going to end up joining and turning against her sisters and joining with the underground. We just always knew that was going to be the end of their arcs. I think because of the way they had to do things, they end up having to condense it. So we lost some of the, and again, less with Esme because we kind of could see that one coming. But especially with Reva, we just kind of lost some of the, we lost some of the moments that we could have gotten there and some of the threads just because they had to condense it. I think it's just, you know, of it she got on the cutting block when it came to finishing some of that stuff off. But like you said, like I think the actress was great. I think the character, to me, was still good. I still could get that connection there. But I did feel like they were just, like, you know, think about the last episode. Like, her entire thing is she's just up in the tower. She's just there. Like, there's no way she doesn't know that all hell is breaking loose in the garage. And she's just standing there. She's not really doing anything. And it just felt like they kind of just, you know, didn't go further with it.
And even hearing you now and just what everybody said, I think it does give more credence to your theory about them cutting her arc short, because I feel like everybody had at least two flashbacks that explained their whole ethos. Like at least two, whether they were interconnected or whatever. I feel like people had at least two or one extensive one that would give you the whole rationale behind how the character moves. If she had another, either if she had another one where it talked about the way that she planned, how she thinks, so that it would flash forward to her giving certain orders and you're like, okay, that's why she does that. Or even if they would have kept Homeboy alive for another episode and just show that other side of her, where she could be this ruthless tactician on one side and be an actual living, breathing person on another, maybe you get more of that robust character.
No. You know, it would have been also really interesting because it just felt like her attack on the Morlocks came out of, like, she clearly knew about them. And it was like, okay, switching gears again. So let's attack the Morlocks and, like, drive them out or whatever. I actually think it would have been really interesting to see her try and convince the Morlocks to join her.
That was a weird thing to me because it's like she didn't even try, right? Like, yeah, I think that was, again, I think that was just a missing thing. Because all of a sudden it came out, it's like, oh, she knows about the Morlocks. She has a map of the tunnels. And so to me, it was like, I mean, right, she's the inner circle. But like how does she get there? Like I said, I just feel like they kind of tabled her towards the back half of the season. And again, I think it's because, okay, if we're going to kind of write this off to a point where it can go either way, whether we get renewed or we don't. We have to finish off what we're doing with some of these other characters. Like, and so you get this arc with John, right? Where he's been spending the last few episodes feeling down that he's not, you know, hasn't done enough. And here he literally, you know, almost sacrifices himself again, you know, to buy time for them to escape. You have Clarice kind of sacrificing herself in what's going on over there. Like, you have these moments with all these other characters. You have the whole thing with the Struckers. You know, they go through all this. You have Lorna. You have Marcos. Like, everything. You have all these characters you got to kind of focus on here. And I think that she was just the one that kind of got the short end of the stick. You know,
even the Lorna Marcos thing, like, they had to wrap that up super quick. Like, Lorna basically came back and it was, and I like that they at least addressed it, where everybody was kind of like, oh, so we just cool with her again. That was okay.
But right.
Just like, they just were like, okay, she's back and we're good.
Well, and I think there were other things that they could have, that I think they kind of seeded, but they didn't do. Like, when Esme's talking to Lorna about what that plan of, I believe they were trying to go with the Frost using their powers to manipulate and control other humans. Because at one point Esme's talking to Lorna and she doesn't say it, but almost basically says, yeah, like we did to you, you know? And I'm like, and at no point do they kind of go back to that thread, and Lorna kind of put two and two together going like, wait a minute, I saw a mutant homeless. Did they do that shit to me? And I think that was in their original plan, right? And it just makes sense to me. And again, this is not me shitting on the show and saying it's terrible. This is me going, they made adjustment. They made game time decisions because it's like, okay, we want to end this in a way that if we don't get a season three, our fans are still okay and still happy. And I'm fine with that. I think they made the right choice there because I'd much rather them do it this way than stretch those other things out and we get no complete arc on some of these other characters.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah. So,
100%. I mean, I don't know because I don't follow ratings and all of that kind of stuff. Have they said it's not coming back? Is it not possibly coming back because of the merger? I don't know.
I'm looking at it. I'm doing
it. I don't think they know. I think it's up in the air. It hasn't been announced to be canceled, but you give us a show and you end it with a bunch of montages, I'm going to make some assumptions.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They also, it was announced, I think Bob Iger came out, we were talking to shareholders and said that FX is going to remain FX. 21st Century Fox, the studio, is going to remain 21st Century Fox. So they'll probably still make X-Men movies out of that studio, but with full creative control. Same way they have Lucasfilms, Pixar, blah, 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 right? So those are all going to remain intact. And however they do it with the creative is going to be a different story. But I do think, if I had to guess, probably by the end of Q1, this deal gets done.
Next week.
Like end of March, creeping into Q2, maybe if there's like a hang up, a less minor hang up. And then from there, they have the whole, production schedule wise, they probably have to start filming in the summer, right?
Mm-hmm.
To get to the fall. So they probably are making those decisions now and are waiting for the deal to go through to announce.
You know what I'm actually thinking might happen, especially towards the end with, you know, whichever blink this is that shows up with the daggers and shit. Mm-hmm. You know what you can really do, right? You just move this over to Disney Plus.
I was just about to say it.
You move the
just call it Exile.
This
is Exile.
Take him over there. It falls under Marvel Studios. You get them to do their own thing, and now you have a way of basically playing in a new world with the characters we've already kind of seen and carry on from there. And to me, I think that might be, you know, was probably their best option right there, right? You now have a way to carry on the show, use some of these characters, but now pull it under the MCU banner and Kevin Feige. And carry on. Again, not saying they do that, but to me, that would probably be the best choice to go because now you get more. You have a show that already has a writing team in place and a production schedule and everything like that already there. You bring them in; it's more content for your streaming service. It seems like to me a win-win. But again, yeah. I don't know what they're doing. And if they do it that way, then like Jeff said, they're absolutely right. I think that everybody's waiting to see what happens with the merger before they make any announcements when it comes to Fox and season three like that. So,
well, I know Legion, they've already announced as having one more season, but they announced this one more season and it's done, which I'm super excited about.
And that was a natural end. Like they planned for that.
Yeah, exactly. And then I feel like with this, whether it goes to Disney Plus or not, I think the exciting thing will be having Marvel have a hand in it and the direction in it, because at this point they're almost in costumes. Like we're almost full comic book at this point. Like we got a little bit, a taste of it at the end of the episode with John. We got Blink with the daggers. We've already got Lorna with the headgear. So I say just go there.
And even with that, right, we don't have the X-Men.
Mm-hmm.
And we technically still don't, you know, I won't bring up the Enix Faye word, I don't want Deepop to go nuts, but taking that aside, like that doesn't even matter to this world, right? We still technically don't have the X-Men because of that event. That can still be baked into how you introduce them. Or it could even be another Earth where these X-Men are, where these new X-Men are. You know, no pun intended. Like, there's so many ways they can go, because I'm thinking of, just because you said Disney Plus, I don't even know if it comes back. If I don't know how the TV rights go, because I don't know if it goes back to Fox proper.
Mm-hmm.
So, or if they work it out as a licensing deal, like a reverse licensing deal or some shit like that. So there's so many ways that they could do. But like Chris said, they have the infrastructure in place and the quality, because I'm sure they recognize what they're doing. And that's they don't have to break. Yeah. They don't have to reinvent the wheel. So all the infrastructure, everything you have is in place. You could probably even finesse it to where you're doing your own schedule. Maybe you condense the episodes just to like reintroduce, but you could still have it. And they just do it in it, and it's part of another reason why you should buy it.
No, absolutely.
First of all, I don't know why people out here playing like they're not about to buy Disney Plus. Please stop. Stop lying to yourselves. I have already admitted to myself, and I am somebody who has railed against everybody having their own little streaming system. Like, we don't need a little cheesy ass streaming system. I got Netflix and Hulu. We good. Disney announced, I was like, okay, Disney. So let's talk. What's the price point? Just so I can budget correctly. Like, stop acting like y'all not gonna get Disney Plus. It's happening.
All right, especially when Netflix raised their prices up. I'm like, I believe Disney already said their price is gonna be lower than Netflix. Netflix has been creeping their prices up. So I'm like, come on, guys.
Also, stop complaining about Netflix raising their prices, because Netflix is literally giving you a new television show every 48 hours.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah, it's true. And to be fair, they didn't creep those prices.
They announced it. You're
like,
right.
It's been months.
Right.
We've been riding this out for a while, y'all.
Yeah. They announced it months ago.
And y'all know like five people are streaming from your one account anyway.
See, I'm about to do that because I'm not even on like the 4K, and I don't even have 4K, but you know, I like nice things. So I'm about to put out a petition like, yo, let's go quarters on some premium Netflix.
Look, I told my mom and my brother already, like, look, for years, y'all been getting Netflix for free. This is where you pay.
Right.
Oh, wow. No more free meals?
Right.
No more free.
Yo, the first 3 years were free?
Yeah.
Shanna, you're a pusher?
Right.
You're a streaming pusher?
I gave you a taste. Yeah,
send me pay. You're just gonna disconnect their service. They're gonna log on one day. You're gonna send them a Venmo request.
Just show up with the bill. All right, so now your bill is $300 for what? It's like, yeah, I was checking those.
I'm gonna start sending out invoices.
Oh, man.
All right, so anything else to finish up with this episode? I do gotta say, going back to Kate with the John Wick gun, when Reed asked her, it's like, where'd you get all these guns? It's America, Reed. They sell them. I'm just like,
yo,
that was the realest.
When she drove through the line of like Kate, and then when she told the other mutants to run, and fucking Lauren was like, you told them to run as decoys so that we could get away, and she was like, well, it's like Kate ain't shit.
You listen, that wasn't the question. She answered the question literally. She knows what Reed meant when he said, where did you get those guns? Not where really you got those guns. Who the hell are you? What assassin program did you train with? And then you're undercover as a regular housewife? Yo, there's more to it, man. I'm fully on board with that conspiracy. Who the hell are you, Kate Strucker?
We gonna get a season three, and Kate gonna basically be Sarah Connor and be living in a bunker somewhere, yo. Kate better
have a cameo in the new John Wick.
Right. I'm just
like,
I taught him everything he knows. What the fuck? all right, yo. Any final thoughts on this? Like I said, I think we all kind of hope they get a season three, even if, you know, probably won't happen. But I think we kind of all want that.
Oh God, why are you like this?
What are you talking about?
Well, we've given them many avenues to do it. Just do that shit. Please bring us nice things. Or if anything, if it doesn't come back, Get the producer. I can't remember the brother's name. He was at Comic-Con.
Matt Nix.
Huh?
Matt Nix.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. 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 Yeah, he's like that dude. Is talking to him like there was like some after party or whatever we were at Comic-Con 2 years ago, and just small talking flex. To him. Yes. No. Not even trying to flex. I didn't know how else to say it without it coming off like that. You'd have been like, well, where did you talk to? Well, just real quick, just speaking to him, he sounded like we sound.
No,
talking about the X-Men.
This shit
was so refreshing.
He's 100% in. Like I remember. You know what? It wasn't the after part. I know exactly what you're talking about. We were talking
the American Gods thing.
No. Maybe you talked to him then. You know what it was for me? It was when you did our interviews with him 2 years ago. Him with the rest of the cast, the first season. He was there in the room, but he wasn't doing one-on-one interviews. So we never interviewed him, but I was wearing that the MTR Malcolm and Martin X-Men shirt. He came over and told me how dope the shirt was, and we were talking. Like, he's a really dope dude, and he's really into this. And I think, isn't he also the showrunner for Legion?
Mm-hmm.
Or work with it?
Yeah.
That's one of those dudes. I'm like, yo, if Marvel's going to do anything, like X-Men TV show-wise, they should bring him in, because he really does know his shit. You know, this is a dude who, you know, people, and like I said, if they had originally said that Legion was by him and then kept pushing Bryan Singer's name, I would have watched Legion a long time ago. Because dude knows his shit. He's really cool for him. So you're absolutely right. I hope this isn't the last time we hear from him when it comes to an X-Men related property, to be perfectly honest with you. He knows his shit.
You know what I'm excited for? I think what's really going to happen is, you know what I think they should do? I think they should actually hold off on announcing anything until after Endgame. And what I would love to see is for the deal to go through, all the restructuring to happen. And I would not be surprised if by end of April, May of this year, they're announcing new configurations of X-Men shows, new configurations of those Marvel Netflix shows, just brand new X-Men movies. I could see them announcing a slew of shit in May.
So I'm glad you brought that up, because I guess we'll bring it here because we don't have a mailbag for a while. Here's the thing, and I'm waiting to see, and I'm taking bets, and I'm willing to bet that Marvel Studios is not at San Diego Comic-Con this year. And the reason why I say that is, when they announced Phase 3, I can't remember if they didn't skip, but they went to San Diego Comic-Con, but they had a small presence. But then they did that whole thing where they rented out a theater, and then they announced what their whole Phase 3 slate is. I feel like they're going to do their own event. Because if you think about everything they're about to get, whether it's just the stuff they got to announce for Phase 4, that's already, like, if they didn't even have the deal going through, but then I do think they're going to tease the idea of maybe not within 2 years, something like that, but the idea of just getting the X-Men coming home, getting the Fantastic Four, whatever they're doing with, like, there's just so much stuff. I don't know, unless they take over and they do that Marvel, I'll do a presentation from 6:30 to like 9, which they could do, and just do a whole big presentation. I think they're going to want to do something on their own, because they've actually gotten to the point where they're probably bigger than that Hall H presentation that they get an hour for. And I just think they have too much stuff to announce than in an hour or to give to the fans. So I actually think they might end up doing something in August, like they did with Phase 3, where they have their own. Their own like 2-hour announcement where they kind of just go through stuff. So
also D23 is this year.
D23 is this year? Oh, I thought last year was D23.
No, there was no D23 last year.
Is it D23?
So it's this year.
Shit, hold on. Oh, is it D23 year? Oh shit. Then that's what's gonna happen. Then I guarantee they'll skip.
I feel like we need to put in our D23. Press application? Is that what we just realized?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the first thing that came to mind. I forgot that is it every other year?
It is every year. They were in Japan last year. So it's every other year here. Yeah.
It's in Anaheim.
Yeah, every year they do it in Anaheim. Oh, okay. I'm gonna look into this again. I did it 1 year.
Yeah, I think we're going to have to put in that press application, because I really want to go to D23.
It's in August. It's at the end of August. You got time.
Yeah.
So, all right. Anything else?
Excited.
Devon, you got anything?
No, just a great 2 years and whatever happens next. I'm not going to fantasy book or hope that it goes one or the other, but just I know it's in good hands because the X-Men coming home. And they took X-Men's name off of Dark Phoenix. Like, in case anyone's wondering how fast I went away from this shit, X-Men's not – that's not X-Men Dark Phoenix. It's just called Dark Phoenix.
Yo, I noticed that too.
The X-Men X, right? Yeah.
Yeah, it's not called X-Men anymore. Fuck that movie. It's never going to happen. And my brain never happened. Let's see this MCU Marvel mutants and the most fantastic of Phase 4.
What they really need to title –
All right, so we lost Shannon again. And I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, that's a good cliffhanger.
Right.
Oh, man, just like the show.
Just like the show. Yeah, right. What were you saying?
Shannon will return, question mark.
Shannon, what were you saying?
I was saying they need to title it Dark Phoenix. We need to make back some of this money.
Oh, God. Yeah, that's not happening. So. All right, folks. Well, there you guys have it. That is our review for season 2 of The Gifted. We're really hoping we get a season 3. So just stay tuned. We got plenty of other stuff coming out on the network. Go check out our latest Star Trek Discovery review and make sure you check out the artwork. I'm particularly proud of what I did there. Although
you have to be stopped. You have to be stopped.
I don't know. I just. It's a gift.
If you give him enough time, he'll stop himself by forgetting to record it.
See, they, wow. thank you. See, and on that note, we can end the show because we got the we got that in there. Thank you very much, Deepam, for having me in this.
You're welcome.
All right, folks, thank you guys very much for listening. Until next time, we're out of here. Peace.